Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we reflect on your word, written and proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This summer, many of us have had an opportunity to take a vacation, or maybe are anticipating a summer getaway, or maybe you're here on vacation at this moment. It's a time to get away from the routine and stresses of life for some rest and relaxation. It's a time for renewal, to be re-energized, and to get a fresh perspective on life. Jesus knew the importance of getting away to rest. Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One such time Jesus attempted to do this was in the account of the feeding of the 5,000. We learned last week that all four Gospels have an account of what happened that day. Father Scott preached on the account from Matthew's perspective. Today, we heard from John. We learn different things from each of the Gospels. In our passage in John today, we're told that Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee to go up the mountain with his disciples. From Matthew, last week, we learned that he had heard of the death of John the Baptist and was deeply moved. We learn in Mark and Luke that the apostles had returned from a successful missionary trip where they preached repentance, drove out many demons, and healed many sick people. In Mark, Jesus says, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." Therefore, we can surmise that he sought a mini vacation from the crowds as an opportunity for rest with his disciples, perhaps to debrief their missionary trip and to reflect on and perhaps mourn the death of his cousin John. However, when he went ashore, surprise, although he left the people did not leave him. We're told in verse 2, a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And so they were eager to follow him wherever he went. Can you put yourself into his shoes? Here you are, in want of a much needed vacation. You just can't wait to put your feet up and put yourself in neutral. And then as you check into your motel room, there's a message from back home. Urgent. Call the office or call home. What words could you use to describe how you might feel? Delighted that they couldn't get along without you? Or, oh no, what now? Or anger, or perhaps frustration. Well, when Jesus saw this crowd, it was different. He sensed their need. So in spite of the fact that he had come away to rest, we're told in Mark that he responded with compassion, which took precedence over his concern for himself and his disciples. The Greek word translated compassion, or in some cases pity, means heartfelt mercy or love that comes from the deepest levels of being. Jesus expresses compassion in concrete acts, healing the sick and feeding the hungry. His example has been an inspiration for many of his followers throughout the ages, including the late Mother Teresa, who once said that her work with the lepers in India gave her a chance to be with Jesus 24 hours a day. For Jesus said, "When you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me." Mark also said that Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep who had no shepherd. We're reminded of the image of a good shepherd in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. It says there, "I will feed them with good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." Ezekiel chapter 34. The multitude that followed Jesus evidently were without someone to lead them into the serene landscape of faith with its green pastures and still waters. They were without someone to restore their souls and to guide them down the right paths or walk with them through life's dark valleys. We too may find when we are left to ourselves, we get lost in life. We can stand at a fork in the road or some crossroads and not know which way to take. It can be bewildering. And it is only when Jesus leads and we follow that we can find the way. For Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd," says Jesus. As evening approached, we see the contrast between the attitude of Jesus and the attitude of the disciples in regards to human need. Again in Mark, we're told that when the disciples saw how late it was and how tired and hungry the crowds were, they said, "Send them away so that they can find something to eat." In effect, they were saying, "These people are tired and hungry. Let someone else worry about them." But then Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." In effect, Jesus was saying, "These people are tired and hungry. We must do something about it." I'm so pleased that our church is so mission-minded. We have the attitude, "We must do something about it." Every year, we have the auction and yard sale with 100% of the proceeds going to local missions. Recently, we've become involved in an organization called Family Promise, where we are providing hands-on meals for homeless families. In fact, this coming week, we're scheduled for providing meals for two nights to two such families. We also collect food for the needy once a month for the local food pantries. And many of you come together and make meals for us to have ready for when someone comes home from the hospital or is at home recuperating from an illness. This story of the feeding of the 5,000 also shows us two reactions to human resources. When Jesus was testing Philip and asked where they were to buy bread to give the people something to eat, Philip answered by saying that the money they had was not enough to buy bread for them. And then Andrew indicates that there was a lad that had five loaves and two fish. As Father Scott indicated last week, these were not the large loaves that we think about, but they were more like rolls, little rolls. The Gospel of John tells us they were barley loaves, which were the food of the poorest of the poor. And the fish were about the size of sardines. It did not seem like much, but Jesus took it and worked wonders with it. You know, in the hands of Jesus, little is always much. We may think that we have little talent or substance to give to Jesus. However, if we put ourselves into the hands of Jesus Christ, there is no telling what he can do with us and through us. This morning, think of yourself as a lad, or maybe a lass, carrying a picnic basket filled with a couple basic gifts. Bread and fish, nothing fancy. But what are you coming to St. David's every week with? Ask yourself, what basic gifts do I carry in my basket? The gift of prayer. The Lord can use it. The gift of teaching. The Lord can use it. The gift of caring. The Lord can use it. The gift of giving. The Lord can use it. The gift of cooking or fixing or cleaning or calling or organizing or visiting. The list is endless. The Lord can use it. What is in your picnic basket? Maybe it does not seem like much, but our Lord needs it to feed others, to build up his church. As we go on to verse 10, we see that Jesus ordered the disciples to have the crowd sit down on the grass. The Gospel of Luke tells us Jesus had them sit down in groups of 50. Perhaps they'd been scattered all over the countryside. By putting them in groups, bringing them closer together, several things could be accomplished. It made it easier for the disciples to serve the food, and it also brought the people into closer fellowship with one another. There would be more opportunity of conversation as they came together and shared a meal together. It's also a reminder that our relationship to Christ is more than a personal relationship. There is that community aspect as well. According to Jewish understanding, a meal binds together participants. One of the great rediscoveries of the Reformation was the importance of the Lord's Supper as fellowship, thus the word communion. The congregation is more than being a loose collection of individuals. We are bound together as the body of Christ. The Lord's Supper forces the members of the body to celebrate their oneness, a oneness experienced on three levels, one with Christ, one with each other, and one in service for all the world. This oneness is a gift celebrated every week as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. What gives the feeding of the 5,000 a sacramental theme is in verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. And in Matthew, as we heard last week, he says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. All except for the fish, it sounds like the night our Lord was in the upper room with the disciples. He took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. In Judaism, at the time of Jesus, blessings preceded all meals in recognition that all things come from God. And then we're told in verse 12 that they were filled. I like how Matthew says it, and all ate and were filled. Other translations say they were satisfied. Well, the Greek meaning is closer to the meaning gorge. Deeply filled. It's like when you've been invited to dinner at another person's home and you're feeling stuffed. And the hostess passes the food around one more time. And instead of saying that you're stuffed, you just politely hold up your hand and you say, "Oh, no more for me, thanks. It just was all so delicious." In actuality, you have gorged yourself and you cannot take another bite. You are stuffed to the gills, satisfied, filled. Well, that's how it was with the crowds that day. They did not just have a small morsel to hold them over until they got back home. God provided in abundance, and they were filled. And besides being filled, there were 12 baskets left over. God certainly did provide that day. Well, you know, God is faithful and continues to provide for our needs. Every week, when we partake in the Holy Eucharist, we come with many different life experiences. Are you hungry? Is there a deep hunger that the world has not been able to fill? Some of you may be experiencing an emptiness or loneliness. Others may be grieving or in a state of confusion with broken dreams and shattered hopes. Pain fills your heart, or you are unhappy at work, or your home life is less than ideal. Maybe you're worried about your children or grandchildren. Perhaps you feel great economic stress, or your health or that of your loved one is not what it used to be or should be. Well, just as Jesus had compassion for the crowd that followed him, he has compassion for each and every one of you. Just as he had an impromptu picnic with the men, women, and children that day, he is here today. He is the host of our meal, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is here to commune with you and to give you nourishment for the road that lies ahead. Therefore, my friends, walk joyfully and full of courage. Let us pray. Grant unto us, O God, the fullness of your promises. Where we have been weak, grant us your strength. Where we have been confused, grant us your guidance. Where we have been distraught, grant us your comfort. Where we have been dead, grant us your life. Apart from you, O Lord, we are nothing. In and with you, we can do all things. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.